This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our 30th anniversary retrospective. In 1988, I spoke with Otis Williams, who sang with the Temptations, the great soul harmony group that had the hits My Girl, The Way You Do the Things You Do, I Wish It Would Rain, Since I Lost My Baby, and Papa Was a Rolling Stone. The Temptations were one of the most successful groups on the Motown label. Williams started the group and kept it together with various singers long after the departure of lead singers David Ruffin and Eddie Kendricks. Williams is the last surviving original member and continues to tour with the Temptations as the group's leader and organizer. In 1961, this became the first Temptations record to reach number one.
Thank you. Fresh Air.
Thank you.
You point out in your group the Temptations were subtler and more romantic than a lot of the other guys, and that there was no sweating or grunting on the stage. So I want to ask you how you think that was reflected in your songs and in your style on stage.
Well, I think that Paul Williams, who was one of the original members, he always believed in us trying to convey selling sex as well as keeping the class. And I wish I could take credit for not sweating, but him and I especially were sweaters. But we always tried to do things in a top-notch fashion.
Berry Gordy, the head of Motown Records, liked your singing, liked your style, and finally signed you to Motown Records. Did he tell you once he took you in what he had in mind for the group, changes he wanted to make?
Not necessarily. Barry was very into the creative end of it more so than anything else, and he left that up. That's why artist development came to be, because of he knew that he had to have somebody that I got all these talented artists here, the Supremes, the Four Tops, the Temptations, Martha and the Vandellas, the Miracles. Somebody needs to come in there and refine and polish them, so we wouldn't be just like everybody else and knew how to get on and off the stage while we were on stage.
Now, you said that Gordy really had more respect for producers and writers than he did for the performers. You describe how if a group didn't show up in the studio on time for their recording date, he'd have another group come in and record the song.
Well, that's true. We had that happen to us with Do You Love Me.
Mm-hmm.
But it was not because of us not coming to the studio and knew that we had to be there. It was that this one particular day we were at St. Stephen's Community Church and watching the Dixie Hummingbirds and harmonizing for, because we were very into gospel groups. And so the next day when we came up to the company, and they said, "Man, where were you guys? Mr. Gordy, he was looking for you all over town because he had to see a song for you guys." We said, "Well, we were at church." "At church?" And so we said, "Well, we were into spirituals, and we just had to watch those guys sing." He said, "Well, he gave the song to the Contours, and it was Do You Love Me."
I can't imagine the Temptations singing Do You Love Me. It's, I know the Contours version so well.
Right.
Doesn't seem like the perfect song for the group. I don't know.
Yeah, I guess we'll never know now, because he wanted to try it out on us, and I think it would have been designed for Paul Williams. We had the chance to do the song, but I think the record went to number two, and we were kind of jealous, but we were happy for the Contours as well, because we felt that our time would come.
The first song that you had that really made it onto the charts, that crossed over onto the charts, was The Way You Do the Things You Do. Now, this song was the result of a competition in-house, right?
Well, Barry always, like I stated in the book, he always had that competitiveness with his writers and his producers. Every Friday, Motown was noted for the thing of having a quality control meeting where they would bring all the material that was recorded that week. Well, that Friday, they would have like an evaluation of who would get the release and what did they think would be this and that and the yeas and nays. So with Smokey having so much success with us, Barry was kind of torn between, yeah, I like that Ain't Too Proud to Beg, but Smokey did have the hit on Ain't Too Proud to Beg. I mean, My Girl and Get Ready. So he said, here's what I do. If Get Ready, I'm going to go with Get Ready, and if it should go to the top 10, Smokey will get the next release. Now, if Get Ready didn't go to the top 10 nationally, Norman, you have the next release, because it Ain't Too Proud to Beg was so strong that it could not be denied any longer. So Get Ready must have gotten to the top 20. Didn't crack the top 10. And so Norman came in there with Ain't Too Proud to Beg, and we had 7 years of hit-making with Norman Whitfield.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go. If I have to beg, plead for your sympathy, I don't mind, cause you mean that much to me.
Describe how some of the producers would have the singers sing slightly above their range.
Yes, yes. Motown was noted for recording their songs like a step higher because they wanted the tension, the vocal dynamics, the stressing point, the pleading sound. So when you would hear it, you could say, oh, wow, I feel what he's saying, like pain in the voice. They didn't want you to sing too relaxed because the song wouldn't come across with that emotional outlet, that meaning where you could really feel it. So they would always cut the tunes, especially Norman and Holland and Doja Holland, would cut it a step higher because that's the way Ain't Too Proud to Beg was recorded. It was recorded just a key too high for David, but he was able to do it, but it was not without us having to stop the tape and let him rest because he was straining his vocal cords and his glasses were sliding all off his face and sweat was popping off. But we were, you know, just saying, go ahead, David, you can do it, you can do it. And it turned out to be one of our biggest sellers.
You described a little bit the competition between songwriters about who
right.
would get to write the next song for the group. Was there competition between the groups? Did you have to compete, say, with the Four Tops over who would get the song that you wanted to do?
No, because Barry never let that happen. He would always let, okay, Holland and Doja had the Supremes and the Four Tops, even though we really like what they were doing, speaking of Holland and Doja Holland. But he said, no, you guys are having too much success with Smokey Robinson or Norman Whitfield. And then he didn't want all the songs to start sounding alike, you know. So he wanted to always make sure that there was that division, that separate kind of identity. And so he would never let that happen, whereas Holland and Doja would just do, you know, more than what they should have done, and the sound would have become too saturated.
We're listening back to my 1988 interview with Otis Williams, a founding member of the Temptations. We'll hear more of the interview after a break as we continue our 30th anniversary retrospective. This is Fresh Air. This is Fresh Air. Let's get back to our 30th anniversary retrospective and hear more of my 1988 interview with Otis Williams, a founding member of the Temptations, the Motown group whose hits included My Girl, The Way You Do the Things You Do, You're My Everything, and I Can't Get Next to You. We got to talk about your choreography.
Okay.
The choreography for your group was done by Charlie Atkins, who was a great dancer and got his start, like, years before I started working with vocal groups, Dancing with Honey Coles. And
absolutely.
Describe some of the steps that he choreographed for the Temptations and the names for the steps, too.
Charlie Steps, let me tell you something, not easy.
Uh-huh.
He's got a lot of little hit steps and a lot of little subtle movements, and you really have to pay a lot of attention, you know, because you look at the stuff that we do on stage and say, oh, that's easy. Oh, no, no, no. I mean, he's cussed us out and called us all kind of names, you know, because it would be hard to get, you know. But once you got a Charlie Atkins choreography down, you would definitely be separate and apart from any of the other acts, because he's not an easy fella to deal with as far as his choreography.
You said there were no extra beats for corrections when he was choreographing one of your songs. Explain what you mean by that.
Let's say if you got out of step, you would catch hell getting back in, because he's got everything scientifically in place. So if you missed that and had to come back in, you said, oh, my God, how am I going to catch back in? Because, you know, a lot of times choreography is to a certain kind of beat. Charlie would hear something that you would have to really strain to hear on the record, and he would probably pick up something like if it was a guitar lick. Well, most cases, steps are choreographed to the drum or bass lick. But he would get something that's all together, that's faint, that you would say, man, I don't even hear that. But it would be there.
Did you ever lose it on stage?
Oh, yeah. All of us at one time or another.
How would you cover up?
It was just something inside you said, you better find a way. So you would find a way, but it would be hard. You would miss a few bars before you got back in step. So we would cover it up. We would clown a little bit. Oh, I'm right back to the bandstand to do that, and then come back up and, okay, I got it. Boop, and fall right in. But you would catch hell getting in for a while.
Otis Williams is my guest, and we're talking about founding and singing with the Temptations. And before we talk more about it, let's listen to another of the Temptations recordings. I Want to Play the Way You Do the Things You Do.
That's a good one.
Okay, and this is written by Smokey Robinson?
Yes, Smokey Robinson and Bobby Rogers.
The lead singer on this is Eddie Kendricks?
Eddie Kendricks.
And let's give it a listen, then we'll talk about the vocal harmonies. Okay.
You know you could have been a candle. I'm holding you so tight. You know you could have been a handle. The way you swept me off the beat. You know you could have been a broom. The way you smell so sweet. You know you could have been some perfume.
Otis Williams, which part were you singing on that record?
I was singing baritone. We would always sit around with Smokey, and Smokey was a very good producer in the respect of he would already have in mind how he wanted the harmonies to be structured, who would sing, what lead, and what have you. So it really was never no problem working with Smokey, because he would say, okay, we knew Melvin would sing bass. Eddie was on lead. Paul, he sang second tenor. David did first, and I was baritone.
Barry Gordy really wanted the group to cross over R&B charts and pop charts. He was into crossing over.
Yes, yes.
So were there things that he thought you should do to make sure you crossed over to the pop charts?
Well, he always stressed the thing of, like I said, lyrics, you know, had a large play in it, and song structure. But he also stressed that the melody would be very simple, you know, whereas, you know, even a child could hum it. So he would stress as simple as you could keep it, the more mass appeal it would have.
Well, there's certain things you're supposed to do, like for the white listeners.
Keep it simple.
Keep it simple for the white people.
Yeah, and for the black, but especially for, you know, that mass appeal, you know, just K-I-S-S. And that means, in our term, keep it simple, stupid. Because most cases, when you look at the top 10, records basically are very simplistic, you know, and they have that mass appeal.
Otis Williams, a founding member of the Temptations, recorded in 1988.